From listener-supported 88.9 KETR in Commerce, Texas, this is Notably Texan. I'm host Matt Minky. And we're excited today to welcome a quickly rising star in country music who's originally from Southwest Texas and now based in Nashville, which is where he put out his debut EP back in 2018. And then following a few more music releases, he made his debut on the Grand Ole Opry in 2023. That drew a lot of attention to this Texas troubadour, and now he is signed to Warner Music Nashville and is just putting out his latest album, Whiskey, Lies, and Alibis. Looking forward to learning a lot more about him and honored to welcome to Notably Texan today, William Beckman. Welcome to Notably Texan, William. I really appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you so much, Matt. I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So you're known as a Texas country artist, generally speaking, these days, even though you've kind of relocated. But you started out doing music a bit more on the rock and roll side, didn't you?
I kind of started off as more like a traditional country artist. And then I put a second record out, which had a little bit more of what I would consider like southern rock. But I'm always kind of dabbling in different genres and different styles of music. That's just something I've always done as an artist and as a songwriter. So it can kind of vary from song to song.
Yeah, I guess I'm actually digging way back before you went professional. I thought you were in like a kind of a classic rock band in your teens or something like that.
Yeah. If you're referring to that, then absolutely. I was in a cover band with my high school friends, and we did all kinds of stuff. We did country. We did rock and roll. It was a really, really nice way for me to kind of learn how to perform and how to play with a group. And a lot of the songs that I learned way back then when I was in high school, there's still songs that I cover today.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having a diverse music palette. We play literally all styles of music by Texans here on the show, so no shame in that.
Absolutely.
Well, growing up in Del Rio along the border, you were raised up on a pretty diverse list of music kind of on this topic. Would you talk about some of your early music influences?
Absolutely. George Strait is definitely at the top of my list for people that helped shape my musical palette. I've always been a fan of his voice and the records he made. I was also a really big fan of a lot of 70s bands like the Eagles, Steely Dan. I had a phase where I went through a lot of vinyl collecting and I'd discover new music that way. It was always funny because at a young age, I kind of just somehow took a liking towards like older music, and I wasn't really listening to what kids my age were listening to. I was kind of trying to educate myself and learn kind of about the songwriters and the artists that came decades before me. So I really learned how to soak it all in and be influenced by a lot of that. Specifically in Del Rio, there's also a lot of Mexican music and mariachi music specifically that you would hear on the radio just driving in the truck. And so I was exposed to a lot of that, and I think that definitely still has a big impact and influence on me today. When I go out on stage and play, I try to sing at least one or two songs in Spanish, just because that's what I did when I was in a high school band, is we would try to throw in a couple songs in Spanish for the audience, just because we knew they would like it. So I still do that today.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that's an important thing for you to do on your shows and on your albums too. So
this record, we're actually really excited because there's a cover song that's in Spanish. It's the last track of the album, and it's really, with the exception of one Christmas song that I recorded earlier last year, it's really the only thing that I've had professionally recorded in Spanish, and we have plans to continue recording songs in Spanish, but this is really kind of my first breakthrough in that field, so we're really excited about it.
Now, you moved to Nashville several years ago, so I was curious, do you ever worry about kind of straying too far from your Texas roots and forgetting where you got started?
No, that's not something that really I worry about. I've got a really good team of people around me And I'm actually really, really, I wouldn't say stubborn or hard-headed, but I know what I want and I know what I like and what I don't like. And as an artist, I always try to lead with that and make sure that my heart's in a good place. If ever I feel uncomfortable about something or about releasing something, I'm never shy to speak up. So thankfully, I've got a really good group of people around me that believe in what I do, and nobody tries to change that or steer me in any kind of direction I don't want to go in. So, and that's all you can ask for as an artist, to have a record company and to have management that truly are just fans of what I do and what I create. And it makes you feel good. It makes you feel very confident and comfortable with the people around you. So I'm in a good spot, put it that way.
So outside of playing shows back down this way, do you get back to Texas often?
Oh, all the time. I live part-time in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm in Texas quite often. Where I don't go too often, just because it's kind of difficult and out of the way, is my hometown. I don't get to go to Del Rio all that much, but my whole family still lives there. And so when I do have enough time, I'll definitely go back home and see my folks. And I've got my older brother's got two kids. I've got a little nephew and a niece who they're like, I thought my mom was my biggest fan, but I'm quickly figuring out that I think it's them.
Okay.
They watch my YouTube videos on the TV, so when I walk through the door, they don't know if I'm real or not.
Nice.
They're still figuring it out. I'm like, hey, relax, I'm your uncle.
That's a great feeling, I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, William Beckman is my guest here on KETR. I believe you just recently turned 29, right?
No, I actually am about to turn 30.
Oh, man.
That.
Well,
in a week. So, yeah, you're talking to a man who's got a week left of his 20s.
Wow, wow. Well, it's all over after that.
Yeah. No,
I know that's how it feels at the time, but I assure you, it's you're just getting started. Well, forgive
Thank
me.
You.
But still, you are at a ripe young age, and you've already taken huge leaps in your music career. Do you feel like maybe your debut at the Grand Ole Opry in 2023 was kind of a big turning point for you getting where you are now, signed with Warner Music Nashville and all?
Absolutely, yeah. For obvious reasons. I mean, that was a dream come true to be able to play the Grand Ole Opry. And my debut there was as magical as anybody could imagine. And I had a whole lot of support from my hometown. I'm not kidding. There must have been over 100 people that flew into Nashville from tiny little Del Rio, Texas, to come support me and to witness me walking on the Grand Ole Opry stage for the first time. So I felt all the love. Everybody at the Opry was so kind to me. And they made sure I wasn't nervous in any way. And I just went out there and did what I do. You know, I think we sang two or three songs, and it's a memory I'll hold dear in my heart forever.
Oh, that's nice, man. Now, I know savvy music fans are, you know, probably recognize that Radney Foster is also from Del Rio, and I know you opened for him some time ago. Have you guys, you know, befriended one another?
Oh, absolutely. He's one of my dearest friends in the music industry, and a lot of people that have followed my career know that him and I actually met when I was maybe in the 10th grade or 11th grade. I was still in high school, and he quickly took me under his wing and kind of showed me the ropes, got me into writing songs, and started mentoring me at a very young age. And that's something I'm really grateful for, because I don't come from a musical family. I didn't have, my parents or any other siblings that played music. So when it came to learning how to play guitar or writing songs, I really had to kind of teach myself. And I was able to lean on him quite a bit when it came to writing songs. And with the exception of a couple extremely talented people, you know, most 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds aren't really writing great songs, or at least I wasn't. I'm really, I feel like today there's a lot of 16, 17-year-old kids that are just killing it, you know, but back then I was just writing whatever I thought was good, and just trying to refine my craft and really trying to figure the thing out, and Radney was a big help when it came to that. So I'm, he's like an uncle to me, and he treats me like a, you know, like a little brother, and I couldn't be happier to have such a good teacher and mentor in my corner.
Wilt Williams checking in today from Tennessee. Tell me about working with the great John Randall as your producer on this album. That seems like quite an honor, and I think we actually heard him on some backup vocals on that song we just played, right?
Yes, he actually sang quite a bit on the album. He's a fantastic singer, obviously a great songwriter, and a fantastic record producer. I was thrilled to get to work with him. He really pushed me outside of my comfort zone, which is a good thing that for producers to do, and I'm really proud of this album that we were able to make together. And yeah, he's become one of my dearest friends. Really excited about it. You know, his wife Jessie Alexander actually sang on the record as well, and she had a song that she co-wrote on the album called "Game I Like to Play." So it's great. I think everybody in the John Randall Jessie Alexander family, they're happy about this record and the way it came out.
Well, you are obviously making all the right contacts in the business so far. You're able to name drop all these greats that you've already befriended and become kind of partners with. So good on you, man. You've certainly got a bright future ahead of you here.
So thank you so much.
I know for a time you were writing your song lyrics using an old typewriter. Is that something you still like to do?
Yeah, not as much. It's hard to haul those things around, you know. But I every once in a while I'll sit down and try to write something, some lyrics or maybe a little piece of poetry. But it was something that I started getting into when I was still in college, and I had a lot of, you know, I wasn't touring so much. I wasn't traveling as much. I had a lot of free time to do that. But I'm a very big fan of, like, Neil Young and Bob Dylan, and I would see these old photographs of them sitting at a typewriter. So I took it upon myself to buy one, and then I kind of got obsessed with them, and I've started collecting them. So I think I've got maybe five or six of them by now. But they're just fun. They're fun to write on and to use. And even if whatever you're writing isn't any good, it's always still fun to type away and pretend like you're doing something.
You know, there are some people who are actually put off by antique and vintage items, but you kind of seem like you feel a connection with things that, you know, sort of have stories to tell and perhaps came before you. What is it that draws you to kind of older things like that, do you think?
I would say just that. You know, the thing, when you see something that's got some age to it, it just kind of makes you wonder the life it had before it ended up in your hands, and the stories that it could tell if they could talk. And I love, you know, anything from old houses and vintage furniture to old clothes and old typewriters, old guitars and stuff like that, you know, makes you kind of wonder who played it or what songs were maybe written on it. And I don't know, I always find that kind of thing compelling, and it's just kind of what makes me, I guess, an old soul at heart. You know, my mom always told me ever since I was a kid that I had an old soul, and I think it's just that. I find those sorts of things interesting. Even kind of going back to what I was saying, when I was growing up, you know, like my brother was listening to Eminem and whatever he was listening to, and I was discovering the Beatles, and it was we were just on different pages, I think.
That's cool. I, you know, not everybody at a younger age really gets into that, but I think it's always a standout thing when people do kind of go outside the norm, and they're like, you know, I know all my peers are into this current stuff, but I want to find out about the classics here. So that's great.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, the kind of music you make is not necessarily always associated with public radio, but you are talking to me on a listener supported radio station right now. And I was wondering if you have any experience, you know, through your life listening to public radio stations around the nation. And if so, why do you think that they're important for local communities?
Absolutely. I grew up listening to terrestrial radio. My first car, you know, I didn't listen to an iPod or anything. I just turned the radio on, and I grew up in a small town to where that was still how a lot of people listen to music and found out about things too. So that's always stuck with me. I've been fortunate enough to speak to a lot of different radio programmers and do interviews and stuff, and I always get a kick out of it. And especially when people play my music, that's the dream for anybody to be able to drive down the highway and one of your songs comes on. I'll never forget the first time that ever happened for me when I was driving in Uvalde, Texas, and my song came on the radio for the first time just by chance. And yeah, it was a really big sense of fulfillment for sure. But I think radio is still very important in big communities, and especially in small communities. I think it's important, and it's one of the oldest forms of entertainment and communication.
Absolutely. And, you know, of course, there's a pretty big difference between commercial radio and public radio, listener-supported radio like you're speaking to me on now. And so, you know, oftentimes it's the listener-supported stations that give singers and songwriters like you their first shot, you know, or, you know, because the commercial stations only want to play things that are established and that they know they can sell more ads around. So, I mean, right. Is that something that you think is important? You know, how would you encourage somebody to help keep their local non-commercial station on the air?
Well, just tune in and support it and listen to the stuff. That's where you really kind of find out, like you said, you know, you can discover a lot of great songs and a lot of great artists by doing that. And I know I do that, especially when I'm in some place that I've never been before. Different radio station, different community, different part of the world, different part of the country. You end up finding really cool things when you tune in and listen.
So, you know, working in the music industry, I'm curious to know what you do in your downtime, you know, when you're not working on song ideas and not everybody, you know, I do something that I love and work in radio and deal with music all the time, but there's times where I want to unplug from all this and just do something else. So what does William Beckman do when he doesn't want to be thinking about songs and music?
Well, that's a great question. What I really enjoy doing is going back home to my hometown, because my hometown is so far away from everything. It's a great place to kind of disconnect and kind of unwind. And, you know, granted, what I do for a living is a very fast-paced lifestyle. You know, we tour so much. We travel so much. Sometimes it's difficult to find like a regimen and have a good sleep schedule, et cetera. So when I get to go back home and hang out with my family and go back to Del Rio, it really kind of resets my mind and my body. And that's what I try to do. I can go fishing with my dad or my brother. And those are the little moments that I live for. The busier I get is just kind of finding, the enjoyment and the silence and the slow pace of things.
Understandable. Well, William Beckman is checking in with us today here on 88.9 KETR. Can you tell me about your upcoming show at Billy Bob's? Is this your first time playing there?
It's not. It should actually be, if my memory serves me right, I think it's maybe my fourth or fifth time.
Okay.
So we've done it. We love Billy Bob's. We love Fort Worth, Texas. Definitely an iconic venue. We always have great turnouts and great fans that show up. So we're excited. It's the day after this record that I've got coming out, Whiskey Lies and Alibis. It's the day after it comes out, and so we're going to be playing a lot of new songs off the new record, and we're really excited. The band's already rehearsed everything, so it's a brand-new show. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to it.
Do you have the same, you know, crew behind you on all these shows, kind of a touring band that goes around with you?
I do. I've been very lucky to have a great band and crew that's been with me for about 3 years now, and they definitely make my life a lot easier than it could be if I didn't have them.
Understood. I know it can be rough if sometimes you have to, you know, well, I'm going to this gig and I got to work with some kind of, you know, just hired guns or whatever who you don't often get to work with. So that helps when you've already got a rapport and everything.
Oh yeah, I have to know my guys. They're the best.
Well, man, I am really glad that we had this opportunity to catch up. Hopefully one of these times we can do it in person and not quite so far away from each other. But it has really been a pleasure to learn more about you and to share your songs with our audience here on KETR. Thanks a lot for joining me today, William.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I would love to sit down and do another interview in person. And thank you for your time, and thank you for spinning my music. It means so much to me.
His website is williambeckman.com. That last name is B-E-C-K-M-A-N-N, williambeckman.com. And big thanks again to William for being our guest today here on Notably Texan. This is 88.9 KETR and KETR.org.